All right, so the war between faith and faith. The war is not between reason and faith. We've hit that in the first chapter. It is between faith and faith. And so he goes on to say that Anthony Flew wrote a book titled God and Philosophy, and he expressed the unbeliever's criticism of the Christian faith for resting on God's authority. What he is saying is that the teaching of Scripture cannot be accepted on the authority of God speaking therein, because it is precisely that authority that is under question by the unbeliever.
Right. So in other words, how can you use God's authority to verify that this is God who is speaking mm-hmm. and has authority, right? He's claiming it's kind of a circular argument.
Right. Right. Yeah. At first, that sounds reasonable. How often have I seen people present that approach? And at first you want to say, yes, that's right. You can't appeal to the Bible to prove the Bible. But there's more to the argument.
All right, so there's more to the argument. He says what Flew is saying is that in the end, God's word cannot be the, and here's the key, ultimate authority, right? Now, he stresses the word ultimate because all ultimate authorities must authorize themselves. Mm-hmm. So if someone says, this is my ultimate authority, you know, and then you say, okay, well, how do you prove that? Well, if the person says, I prove that ultimate authority by appealing to this over here. Well, then that first claim of ultimate authority wasn't really your ultimate authority, right? Ultimate.
Because
that's right. Right? You've used something else to prove your ultimate authority.
I climb Mount Everest. How do I know? Because I scaled this hill of 6 feet. I've reached the pinnacle. Don't mind the really big thing up there. I've scaled Mount Everest. Right. Here I am. Where's my flag that
that's
I can
right.
plant?
That I can plant. Yeah. So he's talking about ultimate authorities right. here, right? And he's you have to accept an ultimate authority, basically, right? And that's what he's trying to get at here. And everyone has ultimate authorities, right? Even Flew,
right?
Anthony
right.
Flew.
So when you call something an ultimate authority in the nature of the case, it must prove itself,
right?
When Anthony Flew says you can't let the Bible be your ultimate authority, you can't let the Bible prove itself. What he is telling us is, on my philosophical outlook, I'm not going to let the Bible be ultimate. That's the issue.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. That's your position, right? Right. That's your opinion, and yeah,
right. And so when we do internal critiques on whoever we're talking to, or even ourselves, that internal kind of bypasses that. Well, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. It's saying, okay, let's assume you're right. What are the implications for that? And so it bypasses that conflict. And so it's still going to produce conflict, but it's going to be one where, okay, here are the accepted positions. What do we see based on those accepted positions? So here, this can only mean that Anthony Flew has determined in advance that God cannot be the ultimate authority. So you can have your position that God's the ultimate, but I won't let you have that.
That's
and so
right.
we're arguing
I won't
about
accept
that.
That. Right.
Yeah. Now prove that God exists.
Right.
But you just said you won't accept anything right. that I offer. Well, okay, that doesn't leave us much with anything.
Yeah. And so he says, when we're examining a concept, trying to decide whether it's true, Flew's saying we cannot employ that concept. Right. You can't employ something that you're examining at the same time. That was his rule. Right. In other words, if we're looking at the scripture's ultimate authority, Flew says, no, you can't examine the Bible in order to show that it is the ultimate authority. You have to appeal to something else. Right. Is what he's saying. And so Bonson says, well, in many ways, that's a pretty good rule to follow. But to say that it's a universal rule, he tells us, and applies to everything would make nonsense out of human reasoning.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're a person that can keep reasoning from ultimates that aren't really your ultimate.
Yeah. Then they're not your ultimate.
At some point you have to stop or say that you don't have one.
Right.
Which no one really wants to do. So those who examine and argue about logic.
So here's this illustration, right? Yeah.
Do you think they have given up the rules of logic when they argue about logic? The law of non-contradiction is true. You can't have something be A and not A at the same time. Okay.
So now you just gave me an argument, logical argument to try to show that the logical argument of law of non-contradiction is the case. Right. You've used logic to prove logic. Wait a minute. You can't do that.
I've making that statement or anything I can do from this point forward would be a logical statement. If I appeal to authority, well, everybody assumes that. Well, that too is also part of a logical, here's the universality of it, degree, and those who fail to follow it will be running into traffic and facing the ultimate test of the law of non-contradiction. Well, I've just utilized the point that I'm trying to do. And so there's my ultimate standard is reason, logic, and I'm talking about it on the basis for arguing about reason logic. Mm-hmm. And so now the question is then, do I have a basis for that? Right. Does the world that I exist in, does the standards that I have account for ability to exist logically within a reason and logic framework?
Right.
And so we'll get into that later. So they don't give up rules of logic when they argue about logic. Mm-hmm. Do they employ the laws of logic when they argue about logic? Well, of course. If they aren't using the laws of logic, then they're not arguing at all. Right. They are using the law of logic to argue about the laws of logic. Oh, no. Circularity. Shut it down. When it comes down to an ultimate standard like that, you must use the standard while you are trying to examine the standard.
Right. So if it's your ultimate standard, you have to use it if it's the ultimate standard, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not the ultimate standard. Something else is the standard.
Well, I just don't accept that reason logic is your standard, and so I won't allow you to use it.
Yeah.
Of course, I've took your standard and applied it to me because I'm now arguing in a logical fashion, but you can't point that out because I don't accept it either.
Right. And so the point here he's trying to make is that we all have kind of ultimate standards, the basis where we can't go any further, and we have to use those ultimate standards even when we're examining our ultimate standards, right? And so he suggests that for the believer, the authority of God's word is an ultimate standard, and it's okay to use it when you're examining even God's word. Mm-hmm. Just like if the laws of logic or logic itself is an ultimate standard, it's okay to use logic when you're examining logic, right? He gives us another illustration. He says, I know people who examine and evaluate the powers and reliability of the human eye, right? Our eye. He says, do you think that they say, well, since I'm examining the eye, we can't use the eyes, right? But now we can't see anything, right? Of course
look
they
at
don't
this,
say
over
that.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Can't use that, right? Yeah. He says they use the eye while they examine the powers and functionality of the eye. You do this too, he tells us. If you have ever gone to a mirror to try and find something in your eye, you don't say, well, let me hear if there's something in my eye, right? Or smell if there's, no. You use your eye while you're trying to find what's in your eye, mm-hmm. right? So we, it's just a crude illustration, but yeah. I think he makes the point here, right? We use the thing that we need in order even to examine the thing right. that we're right. using.
You're driving down the road, you see water on the road on a very hot day, and you're like, oh, that's weird. But I have good reliability on my senses. I get to that point where I know that I'm at the point where it's marked with a sign of where I saw the water. Where'd the water go?
Yeah.
Oh, it's up farther. It must be moving water. or maybe that exists as kind of an optical illusion. And so I've come to say on really hot days, it may appear that there's water on the road, but there's not. Well, how did you find that out? Well, I went to that spot and I looked. Oh, hold on. You're just trying to tell me about how your perceptions are either trustworthy and you said it wasn't. But how did you get there? You use your perception. Well, I don't accept that standard.
That's right.
Because
right.
you're
you just
talking
shown
in circularity.
That your perceptions aren't reliable.
This is,
so yeah,
this is awful.
So how can you? How do you
I,
show
I heard
that?
It. Yeah, I heard there was no water.
How do you show just your perceptions are not reliable? Well, you use your perceptions,
yeah.
right? Or how do you show your perceptions are reliable? Well, you use your perceptions, right? It's kind of an ultimate standard kind of thing, and you can't get around it. And he's suggesting it's true for the believer as mm-hmm. well, right?